evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, January 15, 2021. 5 people are killed in a road ambush in Tonj County.
8 people were wounded, including 4 women. In the week, 4 people were killed. Later on, they were collected by some...
And residents of Mangala in Central Equatoria State accused some South Sudanese senior military officers of land grabbing.
At the road there, everybody was holding a gun. And you cannot even ask them what is going on. When we came as a community yesterday, we cleaned our places and went back. Today is an organized crime because there are representatives of the government.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Local authorities in Warrap State say an identified gunman killed 5 people and wounded 9 others on Thursday during a road ambush on a passenger vehicle traveling from Wau in western Bahr el Ghazal State to Tonj East County. A doctor at Maria Low Hospital says 8 people wounded in the attack, including a woman, were brought to his facility for treatment. He says the hospital lacks medicine, adding that the wounded will be transported to Wau or Tonj Hospital. For VOA News, Daniel Maringwek reports from Juba.
Gabriel Awanmokwoch, former Secretary General of the now defunct Tonj State, says the victims were traveling from Wau to Tonj East County via Tonj North County when they were attacked. Mokwoch says gunmen ambushed the travelers in Tonj North County, where they often fire on the vehicle.
8 people were wounded, including 4 women. In the week, 4 people were killed. Later on, they were collected by some. Then 6, including the driver, made their way out up to Marialo Hospital.
Justin Ngang Mading, Director of Administration at the Dipang Marialo County in Tonj North, says after hearing about the ambush late yesterday, local authorities send local youth to the scene to confirm what happened.
4 people are now on the ground killed and 1 person escaped to the bush. We have also brought this morning 5 people to Maria Low Hospital. That includes 2 soldiers and 3 civilians.
Mading says the motive of the attack is not known. He is calling on the state officials to deploy security forces along the road. Mading says area communities live in fear due to frequent attacks by the gunmen. Deng Awan Deng, former Helis director of the now defunct Marialo County, says the 7 people shot during the ambush were rushed to Marialo Hospital.
The vehicle arrived here full of blood. People were bleeding seriously. 5 were wounded and they were in the car. So all of them were admitted at Marialo Hospital. This morning, there were 2 women who left behind. They fell down from the car, and one got a fracture, and the other one got injured. So we sent people this morning from Marialo to that place. They brought all those 2 women. Now they are also admitted here in the hospital. Currently, we have a total of 7 patients, and they are okay.
Dr. Tach Majung Mangong at Marialo Hospital says some of the wounded are in serious condition and are being transferred to either Wau or Tonj Hospital for better treatment.
2 people among them sustained serious injuries. That acquires mass attention. We will either transfer them to Wau or to Tonj because we lacked medicine here. We are appealing to the health partners and the government to intervene in rescuing the lives of these people.
The wounded include 2 South Sudan People's Defense Force soldiers. Authorities say one of the travelers flew into the bush during the attack and is still missing. Last week, a motorbike driver, commonly known as Boda Boda, was ambushed and killed between Ralbet and Warraf town of Tonj North County. 2 days later, authorities say a prominent businessman was shot and killed at his job in a rummage market of Tonj East County. Authorities in Tonj East and Tonj North County says no one has been arrested in connection with either incident. For BOA News, Daniel Marengwek in Juba.
A potential land dispute is brewing between community leaders in Central Equatoria State and some senior military officers from the South Sudan Defense Forces. Communities in Mangala Payam are asking for intervention to stop land grabbing by some military officers who use force to demarcate plots in the area. The governor of Central Equatoria, Emmanuel Adil Anthony, says his office has not received any written complaint from communities in Mangala. The South Sudan military spokesman, Brigadier Santo Domingue, says the affected residents in Mangala should file a case with the police against the alleged land grabbers. For VOA News, Dingma God reports from Juba.
A youth leader from Garbo, Urinyaka Boma in Mangala, who spoke on condition of anonymity for security reasons, says last Sunday, armed men in police and military uniforms drove to the area and began to demarcate various plots of land.
At the road there, everybody was holding a gun, and you cannot even ask them what is going on. When we came as a community yesterday, we cleaned our places and went back. Today is an organized crime because there are representatives of the government in the Republic of South Sudan, both from the defense and security sector, where they came with graders clearing roads, and you cannot question them.
The youth leader says the land belongs to his community. He says he does not understand how men in military and police uniform will be allowed to demarcate property owned by the individuals in his community. Community leader Redento Tombe says in the past, his community has given out plots of land to people who ask for it peacefully. He says there are certain procedures to follow in order to acquire land. He stresses it is only the Central Equatoria State Governor who gives directives to demarcate the land.
According to our laws here, the land belongs to the people. And the people, they are the one to sit and write to the Garbo community. So they will write to the Payam administrator, director. Then the Payam director will take the letter to the executive director of the county. And from there, it will go to the governor. The governor will give directives to physical infrastructure to do the demarcation. And then there will be the community to give to their people. And if there are balance of, because they will see how many people are there. And then also some tokens are to be given to the government to give to the people who are in need, who also write the application.
Tombe says local villagers are scared by the presence of men in uniform who are demarcating the community's land. He says state authorities recently arrested one of the land grabber who was released shortly afterwards. Tombe says he believes people continue to grab land because they often get away with it. Brigadier Santo Domingue, the South Sudan People's Defense Forces deputy spokesperson, says soldiers who commit crimes or offend civilians in any way should be held accountable as private individuals.
This does not represent the institutions of the rules of engagement of the military. These are just individual affairs. I think they should report the case to the police so that the spokesman of the police may be asked to clarify. If on certain occasions, it's not the strategy of the military.
Derek Derrickson, press secretary in Central Equatoria State Governor Emmanuel Adil Anthony's office, says the state has yet to receive an official complaint about a land dispute in the area.
We have not gotten any official case being forwarded to the state from these security officers being indulging themselves into land grabbing. But if at all there is anything of such a nature, of course, the law will take its course, and the leadership won't fear to take any measure against any of the officers. And this will be dealt with accordingly.
Derrickson says the state government is working to address land disputes.
One of the steps that the state leadership has taken is to constitute a committee that will be looking into this issue comprehensively. And this is going to be done once the state government once the state cabinet is constituted, where we have the minister who is concerned with a physical infrastructure within the state. Now, this will be under his docket.
Derrickson says he believes it is only when the government is fully formed at the state and local level will it be able to fully address land disputes. For VOA News, I am Ding Magot in Juba.
From Mangala, we move to Khartoum, where President Salva Kiir's security advisor, Tut Keu Galwak, who is also the chief mediator of the peace talks between the Sudanese government and armed groups, is in Khartoum to meet with the transitional government and plan for peace talks with a faction of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement North. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Galwak and his team arrived Khartoum on Wednesday to follow up with the Sudanese government officials and various armed groups that signed the peace agreement. Speaking to the media after his first meeting on Thursday, Galwak said his team held a series of meetings with all parties and said there was a positive progress on the implementation. He says the parties briefed his team about what has been achieved and the formation of joint committees for the implementation of the peace deal.
We discussed how to continue the peace implementation process through various committees, including political and security committees. We also discussed the allocation of seats to members of the armed groups in the executive body, the Sovereign Council and the Legislative Assembly, and at other levels.
Galwak hailed the Sudanese government and the armed groups for the trust and confidence on display over the past few months. He says their continued commitment is needed during the implementation period of 39 months of the transitional period.
We are here commending the government of Sudan for the positive steps that have been achieved. We commend them on the warm welcome they gave the leaders of the armed groups in Khartoum and their work together through different joint committees that have been formed. We are here to follow up on this process and report back to our President Salva Kiir about what has been implemented.
Galwak says his team met with the head of the Sudan's Sovereign Council, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, and briefed him on the implementation process. Galwak says, as the mediators, his team wants to see that all parties work together during the transitional period. He says the parties assured him they will soon form a transitional government, including the Legislative Council.
We agreed with the head of the Sovereign Council to issue orders for the formation of the Military High Committee, which will be composed of representatives of all parties to the Juba peace deal. The committee will be tasked with monitoring the security arrangement of the Juba peace deal.
Galwa called on the Sudanese citizens to be patient and support their leaders so as to achieve lasting peace, economic growth, and development in the country.
We would like to assure the Sudanese people that soon parties to the Juba peace deal will participate in the formation of the government, which will be working for the people and will allow citizens to live in peace and stability. Our hopes for Sudan is for peace, stability and prosperity.
The Sudanese transitional government and the coalition of armed groups signed a peace deal in Juba, South Sudan on October 3rd last year. Other armed groups, such as the SPLM North faction of Abdulaziz al-Hilu and the SLM faction led by Abdul Wahid Muhammad Nur, have yet to begin separate peace talks with the government. Galwak did not mention when those negotiations would commence. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, Ugandan main opposition leader disputes the results of a presidential election. Find out why right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how would you advise someone who is struggling in life?
To just keep going, life is full of ups and downs. So it's the way you're able to maneuver, is the way you're able to, because life will give you what you accept. So if you are defeated and you feel you are defeated, then that's all.
He or she should not give up, because once you struggle, you never know, one time you can achieve what you want.
not to give up so easily, because if you want to succeed in life and you give up on something that you want to do so easily, there is no way you can go forward and succeed in whatever you're doing.
I'll tell him not to watch his present situation now, but to still forge ahead and push towards his goal. He should also have a goal and then work towards it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Amid an ongoing internet blackout, votes tallied so far by Uganda's election commission are favoring Yoweri Museveni, winning a sixth term in office. His main challenger, musician-turned-politician Robert Kyagulanyi, known as Bobi Wine, has alleged widespread fraud and declared himself president-elect. For VOA News, Halima Athumani reports from Kampala.
The military moved in just hours after Wine on Friday said he would reject final election results, even before they were in, due to what he called the worst fraud in Uganda's election history. Speaking to the media earlier at his home in Kampala, Wine alleged ballot stuffing, vote rigging, intimidation and threats against media to prevent them from reporting irregularities. Wine declared himself president-elect over Yoweri Museveni, who has been in power since 1986, despite early results from Uganda's Electoral Commission showing a wide lead for the president.
I am very confident that we defeated the dictator by far. I call upon all Ugandans to reject the blackmail. General Museveni and his small clique of oppressors are trying yet again to impose themselves on the people of Uganda.
If authorities had nothing to hide, asked Wine, why did they impose an internet blackout since Wednesday? Uganda Electoral Commission spokesman Paul Bukenya responded to Wine's allegations.
We do not want to deal with speculations and allegations that have not declared the final results and they're really being challenged. So I think let's continue with what you're doing. And if someone has an issue with them, they can challenge them.
Spokesman for Museveni's ruling National Resistance Movement Party, Emmanuel Dombo, said the president's lead was no surprise.
Given our old track record, we are not surprised that people have continued to trust us, but we didn't know that it would be this overwhelming. And we are grateful to the population for demonstrating that they still love the old man in the heart.
If 76-year-old Museveni is declared the winner over Wine, who is half his age, he would enter a sixth five-year term as president. But it's not necessarily his last. Uganda removed term limits in 2005. Ahead of the election, UN rights officials warned the elections were unlikely to be free and fair due to violence, rights violations and restrictions on opposition candidates and supporters. The U.S. Embassy in Uganda declined to observe the election after authorities denied more than 75% of their accreditation requests. Halima Athmani for VA News, Kampala.
Still on politics, with President Donald Trump impeached so close to President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration and the trial not taking place before then, what is the impact on American politics moving forward? International Edition's Steve Miller gets that answer and more from Matthew Cabell, professor of political science at Villanova University.
I mean, pretty clearly, this is not the way Joe Biden would choose to come to office. I think new presidents always want a clean break with the past. They want to be able to move their agenda. They want to be able to set that agenda and set priorities in Washington. And to a certain extent, this is going to preclude the new president, Joe Biden, from being able to do that, because he will now come into office in the shadow of his immediate predecessor and in the shadow of the events that just transpired in the Capitol. So, you know, to that extent, because this is unprecedented, we really don't know how it's going to play out. But it's pretty clear that the business of the new administration, including confirming the cabinet and moving on some of the items that Biden has said are urgent priorities, will now have to share the stage with an impeachment trial.
What about to the American public? Because some Trump supporters have said by following through on impeachment, it may energize the president's base. Republicans during the debate were saying that this was a divisive process, but Democrats were saying this is our duty. There was an attack on the Capitol. They feel that the president incited the riot and this is their responsibility.
Yeah, you know, it's It's very hard to imagine supporters more energized or doing something more divisive than what we've already seen. So, I mean, I think the argument about, that some of the president's supporters are making that we need to move past this, it's honestly a little hard to take that seriously, given the magnitude of events that have already transpired. I think if there is going to be an opportunity to move beyond this, it seems that there would need to be an accounting of what happened, who was involved, and to the extent that there were people involved who broke the law, to hold them accountable legally.
What do you see as potential issues for the Republican Party moving forward? Because you had Liz Cheney, the number three Republican in the House, saying that, you know, we must hold the president accountable. 10 Republicans voted for impeachment. The rest did not. So what challenges as a party do you see them facing?
I think it's a big challenge. And as Donald Trump now leaves power, but does not exit the stage, I think the big question for the Republican Party is how much sway does he continue to hold over the party, over the party's strongest supporters? And I think it even raises the question of whether his supporters are the party's strongest supporters. You know, one of the stories that I think has gotten lost in the events of the past week or so is Georgia, where you can make the case that the reason Democrats won both seats in Georgia and consequently won control of the Senate is because of the messaging that came from the president. And, if his voters don't show up to vote for other Republicans, then I think it's an open political question about his value going forward. But on the other hand, because his voters are so loyal to him, it's really not an easy decision for Republicans to make whether they stay with him or whether they abandon him. I would say that some of the signals we've gotten from Mitch McConnell over the past couple of days about his openness to and conviction in the impeachment trial, I think that's telling, because I think that will be a really good indication, at least from the standpoint of, Republicans in government, Republicans in Congress, as to how they're going to navigate this genuine minefield going forward.
That's Matthew Cabell, professor of political science at Villanova University. He was speaking with International Edition's Steve Miller. The World's Meteorological Organization says record-setting global temperatures are accelerating the pace of human-induced climate change. For VOA News, Lisa Schrein reports from Geneva.
Global data show 2020 was one of the three warmest years on record, closely rivaling 2016, which narrowly holds the top spot. The World Meteorological Organization says the past decade was the warmest on record, encompassing six of the world's hottest years. WMO spokeswoman Claire Nullis tells VOA the record-setting temperature events indicate a persistent long-term climate change trend.
The meaning of having all these very hot years is that it's a clear signal that climate change is continuing. There's no sign of it easing off at all, quite the contrary. So climate change is real. It's not a future scenario. It's happening now, and it's not going to go away, unfortunately, anytime soon.
Meteorologists say the Earth is 1.2 degrees Celsius warmer than pre-industrial levels. At this rate, they warn, temperatures could rise by 3 to 5 degrees Celsius this century, which they say would be catastrophic. Temperature is just one of the indicators of climate change. The underlying cause is high levels of carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping greenhouse gas emissions into the atmosphere. Nullis says global warming has resulted in unprecedented extreme weather events in every region of the world, among them sustained heat and wildfires in Siberia.
We're seeing the melting of Arctic sea ice, the retreat of glaciers. These are contributing to accelerating sea level rise, which in turn has a knock-on effect that when we see, you know, extreme events like hurricanes, the impacts of those hurricanes are bigger because sea levels are higher.
The WMO says La Nina, a naturally occurring cooling climate phenomenon, put a brake on 2020's record-setting heat at the end of the year. La Nina is expected to continue into the early to mid part of this year. However, meteorologists note La Nina's cooling effect is only temporary. They say Britain's Met Office annual global temperature forecast suggests 2021 is likely to be one of Earth's hottest years. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Starting next week, January 22nd, we will resume airing listeners' comments. Send your brief comments about issues in our news or what is happening in your area. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. I repeat, the number is +1 202 630 8011. We will air your comments every Fridays. That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you in a dancing mood with a Sudanese musician from Darfur. This one goes out to our listeners of Radio Sawa 97.5 FM in Khartoum.
Rabbina temsala ayru laru istasalde abakaru temsala egire koloes onti sanu jwerira egire koloes onti sanu jwerira badi garli sergaleke tari garli kargaleke iya kalo sukkar kayge ailarege gatiga Rabbina temsala ayrular istasalde betekaru temsala egile koroen onti sauro jwerira egile koroen onti sauro jwerira badi garli sergaleke tari garli kardaleke iya kalaga sukkar kayge ailarege gatiga ailare
We've been listening to Sudanese musician from Darfur. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your phones, vehicles, and homes. Please remember to always wash your hands with soap. Practice social distancing and wear a mask when you are in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Salli ayni kuri ayni ga, anyani ta ga si ga.
dardi aygi salame gayre yar watura gette kayle dardi aygi salame gayre yar watura gette kayle ay taturege gatiga ay taturege gatiga legergi.